Welcome to this week's episode of Zen Founder. In this episode, Sherry interviews Carlos and Lawrence from Happy Startup School. And Sherry and I have some commonalities with Carlos and Lawrence in the Happy Startup School because we certainly want folks to be successful and want founders to thrive. We want them to do that both in their startup and in their personal lives. So it's a good conversation as Sherry dives into, you know, what the background of Happy Startup School, what motivated them to start it, and all of that. A reminder that Sherry is publishing 2 articles a month on the Zen Founder blog. If you sign up for the mailing list, it's the best way to stay in the loop. Just go to zenfounder.com and you'll see a drip widget there where you can enter your email. Also, Sherry and I are both speaking at MicroConf Europe in late November in Croatia. If you head to microconfeurope.com, there are still tickets left, and we would love to see you in Croatia. It's an amazing destination for a vacation. We're actually going for a couple weeks and going to be traveling down the coast. So hope to see you there and hope that you enjoy today's episode.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I'm also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So, Carlos, Lawrence, thank you for joining me on this episode of the Zen Founder Podcast. You guys run the Happy Startup School, which sounds like the best possible place to work ever. Can you tell me a little bit about what you guys do?
I'll leave that to you, Lawrence.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, Happy Startup School. We're just running around with smiles on our faces every day, you know, full of joy, full of happiness and well-being. If only it were like that.
It's unicorns and rainbows, right?
Of course it is. Obviously, that's what we're working towards, and you know, some days are like that. So the Happy Startup School really is a community of people, of purpose-driven entrepreneurs and leaders who believe in choosing the happier path. So, you know, ultimately making decisions that aren't based on money alone. And for some people, that could be choosing to find more impact in the work they do, more meanings. For others, it can be spending more time with family and doing things they love. But more than anything, it's just, you know, aligning who they are and what they do, which I know is very true to what you talk about on this Zen Founder podcast.
Yeah, I think we care about some similar things. And well, you are 2 co-founders and you've been on this journey together, but you came here from different places. So Carlos, would you say a little bit about your background and kind of the circuitous route that brought you to this place and time? And then of course, Lawrence, I'll ask you the same question.
Yes, and it wasn't the most direct route to running an online community.
Right, something about a PhD in physics?
Yeah, so I think it all started way back with a fascination for how the world works and a fascination with space and I really wanted to understand how things really worked, and physics seemed to be that's the thing. Everything falls down to physics. So I just had a passion for that. I was good at maths, so following something that I thought I was good at, and then I was curious about what physics could teach me. That led me down to this path of actually doing a PhD. And at the end of that, it was like, okay, I'm not really cut out to be an academic. What next? And so this is where kind of following my nose really just took on a new form. And I ended up through a random accident of going to a party of one of my wife's best friend, and in this beautiful, amazing, sexy loft studio with a new web design agency, and talking to their founder, and she was asking me, so what do you do? And I didn't do anything, and she said, do you want a job? And it was one of those things. I had no rationale as to why I should be doing that, but it just felt like a good thing to do. So I started becoming a web developer, starting up as a little web monkey. And that's when I found myself in the same industry as Lawrence. He was doing design work, which he'll tell you a bit more about. I was basically a developer, became a technical director of the agency. And that's when I've kind of hit this ceiling of actually the environment I was working in was not making me feel good or happy. It just felt like the office politics, the not knowing or not having a clear direction as to what we were doing, also being detached from the client, it just felt made the work really demotivating and purposeless in a sense. And so I was doing some side projects with Lawrence at the time, and it felt like actually that claiming of independence, autonomy, but also working with someone who you trusted and actually made sort of the work more fun, that felt like a good step. And so Lawrence and I then started a web design agency back in about 2008 officially, and we basically ran that for a good 10 years really. And so from there, well, I'll stop there, because then that's when it starts getting interesting.
That's where your paths converge. So Lawrence, you have the design background. What kind of led you up to this point? We've sort of heard Carlos's backstory a little bit, but how did you end up in that place where you were ready to start a new thing with Carlos that, of course, eventually has morphed into Happy Startup School?
I think, like Carlos, really, is a series of steps, a bit of serendipity. I mean, we went to school together many years ago, so we've actually known each other since we were 7 years old, I believe, which is unusual, certainly for friends, never mind business co-founders. I think my story is similar but different. I studied economics, and I kind of realized quite quickly after spending about 10 months in the city of London that I wasn't really cut out for that world. I didn't take 6 years like Carlos to work that one out.
You got there faster.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I learned quite quick in that first 10 months in that company I was in. It was a pension fund in the city of London. I think I experienced the worst kind of workplace culture that I could have done. And at the time it was like hell, but looking back, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because it was almost like, you know, the corporate world just condensed into, you know, it was like The Office, basically. It's the only way I can describe it, but without the humor. No one said hello to each other. You got like eye rolls when you left, you know, an hour late, not even early. And just like Carlos said, there didn't feel like there was a point to the work. There probably could have been if people had found that point to it, but for me, I didn't see it. And I was bottom of the rung, didn't get any respect from anyone. But you talk to people and they'd moan about the job, and you'd say, why, well, how long have you been here? And they'd say 10 years, and they were still moaning about it. So I kind of realized quite quick that I either got out quick or I could be that person 10 years on. And I didn't really look up to the people that were ahead of me. So the thought of staying in that role really didn't excite me, or in that industry even. So I suppose needs must, really. I decided to do something more creative and taught myself how to build websites, completely independent of Carlos. But it was the late 90s. It was the kind of dot-com boom, and you could walk into a role as a web designer without even having any experience. So that was lucky for me, because I literally had none and wasn't going to get a full-time job because no one would hire me. I didn't have the design qualifications, but what I did have was a passion and a drive to do something and get out of the rut I was in. So yeah, I spent 4 or 5 years as a freelancer in London working for, you know, agencies across the board, designing websites and more working on campaigns and, you know, more complicated web platforms. And that's really where me and Carlos came in the same path, really. It was my limitations as a, not even a developer, but as a front-end designer were certainly reaching their peak. And yeah, Carlos's technical background meant that he could help plug into that. And not just that, I was doing a lot of work solo, working on my own, building my own client base, and realized that it wasn't actually that much fun working on your own, you know. So I think we both got together and realized we thought we could do it differently or even better, but certainly better for what we needed, which was, I think, one of the first lines we had when we set up our studio was no minions. And that was one thing we both felt like in our companies and the people we were working with, is like we were doing all the work, but we got the least amount of respect. So that was one thing we didn't want to have in our company.
So you sounds like you are a good team. You had skills that really complemented each other. Sounds like you could have gone along like that for quite some time. Why the transition to Happy Startup School? Why not continue to build sites together and make some nice cash and enjoy your entrepreneurial freedom?
So this is where we started working more and more with entrepreneurs and startups. And more than just kind of building a website for people, we were actually building essentially their business, because they were going more into kind of app development. And so we saw that there was a lot of challenges for particularly early stage entrepreneurs in getting their head around a more iterative lean. And at the time, that's when the lean startup was coming about. But for many people, they didn't understand this idea that just because you built it, people will come. And as an agency, we were getting a lot of people coming to us with these very predefined ideas of how something should work, and probably in their heads a predefined idea of what success looked like, and expecting us just to build it and help them make millions by being the next Twitter, Facebook, or whatever it was they were trying to chase. So we had this model of working with startups and entrepreneurs, which at one level was working because we were, you know, getting some really interesting work and doing some quite challenging projects. But at another level, it meant we were always building someone else's dream or someone else's business. Plus the stress on top of that of someone who didn't really understand why they were doing what they were doing. Some of our clients had some clear visions and knew where they were going. But most of the time, what we found there was, other than the money, it was very hard to understand why they were doing what they were doing. And we felt actually we needed to train these entrepreneurs a bit better, because it helped made our lives easier by helping them understand actually startup is a different process than just building any normal traditional business. But the core of the reason for us starting our own business was because we wanted something more than just the money. And we were looking for how can the work we do make us happy as well as hopefully rich, but that wasn't the core thing. So whatever we taught, we thought it needed to align with what we believed, which was essentially how to build a happy startup. So a happy startup school was born. And that was really the start of, I'm trying to think of a simpler word than bifurcation, a split, two different paths. And this was the kind of like the sliding doors moment, where we could have gone down one path, which was the agency world, which is well-defined, well-trodden path, knew what the model was, or the happy startup school, which was, we weren't clear how that was going to work, but there was a lot of potential in terms of the love we were getting. Because within the first thing we did when we had the idea for the happy startup school, Lawrence, because of his design background and kind of ability to create things quite quickly, he put up this thing we called the Happy Festo, which was our values and beliefs at the time of what a startup or a happy business should be about. And within like 3 months of putting that up, we got more interest and more connections than we'd ever done as an agency. And it felt like we'd hit a nerve and something resonated there. The other alternative was to continue with the agency, which means if you want to scale a business like that, it's kind of scaling the headcount, which then becomes a case of feeding the beast.
Then you have minions.
And then we have minions, and neither of us had the energy to do that. And so about nearly 4 years ago now, we decided to close down the agency and basically go all in for the Happy Startup School.
And when people seek you out, what are they looking for? What point of pain or problem do the startups who get in touch with you, what are they trying to solve?
I can have a go at this one. And actually, going back to your question, they're not all startups, which is the interesting thing we found with this community that we built. Is I think more for us, the ethos of what we're doing and the values at the heart of it seem to attract, yes, a lot of startups, but also a lot of more experienced business owners, founders, leaders, people pre-startup. So people may be stuck in a job that they're not feeling, you know, is filling their soul. So I think we see people at this kind of different ends of the spectrum, really. People that really love the energy and the inspiration that comes from being in a community like ours and, you know, being in a room full of people, whether it's virtually or in the real world, who aren't there for the money is quite refreshing, I think, for people. So, you know, surprisingly for us, it didn't just attract startups. But I think the main pain points for me really come down to something's missing for a lot of the people that we meet. And we had this ourselves, you know, we built this agency, it was serving us in terms of money, it was actually growing at the time and could say thriving. But on the inside, it didn't feel right anymore. I think the easiest way I can picture it is like we had a very clear vision of where we wanted to take the Happy Startup School, but we didn't really have a clear vision of where we wanted to take the agency anymore once we'd birthed this idea on the side. And so I think we meet a lot of people who have that feeling of something's missing, whether they've built a company and are trapped by it, whether they're working in a job and are trapped by it, or whether they just want to create something more positive in the world. You know, maybe they are happy in what they're doing, but actually they want to create more impact and help other people. So I guess it's those things that we see regularly. And on top of that, it's a need to belong. I think more and more people are feeling a bit disconnected from the world. And so, you know, a lot of the traditional communities like churches and in the UK, the pubs we have aren't the sort of hubs of the community like they used to be. So people are looking for other ways to connect. And I think that's one thing that we see a lot, is just that need to be around like-minded people who think the way that you do and who want to support each other on their journeys.
And need to be understood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has your conceptualization of a happy business or what it means to be happy in your job, has that evolved as you've been doing this work? Like when you go back to your original happy festo, has it changed?
Oh, ironically, we were working on that today.
Yeah, we were chatting about that this morning with Bizarrely. And my first reaction to that was when Carlos said almost exactly the same question to me. And I was a bit reticent. I was like, no, it hasn't changed. But actually, I think when we rewound to the beginning, we talked a lot more about companies. So we talked about creating happy workplaces, building the kinds of companies that inspired us to actually create this in the first place, not just the Happy Startup School, but our first company. You know, we looked to companies like Patagonia and Zappos and, you know, companies who were really purpose-driven and put that at the heart of what they did. And I think we used that a lot at the beginning to give people a frame of reference to say, look, this is the kind of company you can build. You can build a scalable, successful business with this ethos at the heart of it. I think, I mean, Carlos might say something different, but for me, it seems like more and more we're working with individuals, the individuals behind those companies, less so the companies themselves, and really focusing on the leadership and entrepreneurial skills and the soft skills they need to be able to stay true to who they are and also build a business in their image, which can be, you know, quite a tough thing to do. So it feels like more and more we're spending time empowering these people with all the things they need, whether that's the soft skills, the network, the environment, the space to create, whatever it might be, to work out what it is they want and also how can they make that happen, versus us going in and trying to transform the company or trying to inject some fun things that a workplace can do to, you know, be a little bit happier. It's much more about empowering these leaders to create those kinds of organizations, and maybe everyone will do it in a different way, but ultimately it's much more conscious and much more purpose-driven than it would have been otherwise.
It seems like well-integrated, happy, calm leaders create those kinds of businesses, right? The business reflects the leader's wellness to some extent.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, I think the trouble that I found with kind of the story of about business, it's become very impersonal, so data-driven these days. And it's all about B2B and B2C and marketplaces. And we forget the people behind these data points. And so ultimately it's about human to human interactions. But then to have those interactions and to have them work healthily, I think there's a level of self-awareness needed. And when you talk about what it means to be a happy startup or a happy business, it's really talking about how what you do aligns, or the work you do aligns with who you are. But if you're not sure who you are, then that's going to be a problem. And I think that's one of the challenges we found when we were working with entrepreneurs and startups as an agency even. You could tell them till the cows came home what's the best thing to do. But if it challenged their identity or their beliefs about how the business should work, then they wouldn't listen to you. And so I think one of the things that I'm really interested about how we've evolved as an organization is that actually how can we get people to be less tied to beliefs and past patterns and egos, to then be able to become much more creative, much more open to new ideas, and also to collaborate better. And that becomes then one of the fundamental principles to becoming either a good leader or actually even a good employee and having organizations that are highly functional rather than dysfunctional.
Has it been challenging for the two of you to keep close to your own purpose as you are now leading and running this business? I mean, in a way, you're experiencing, I imagine, many of the challenges that you are helping other people through. So how do you two keep close to your own purpose, to the own, you know, sort of the whys behind what you're doing, even as you're kind of in the middle of the grind of growing your mailing list and recruiting people to your events and, you know, all the things? And I ask this because I know exactly what that feels like to be on the inside of it.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things that's helping us most at the moment is having our own, well, having the community. That's one of the biggest benefits of the Happy Startup School. It's the community that we needed. We have people who we can call upon to help us sort of like refocus or get back to the roots of what we're doing, or just even just look at it from the outside and reflect what's happening so that we can make sure that we're still going in the right direction. And also having mentors and people who can actually coach us and guide us given their own experiences. And that's one of the most, I think, one of the things that I wish I'd done earlier in my career is actually to ask for help. So having experienced people, but also people at the same stage, all people who are like-minded and kind of looking for the same kind of things, having those people around kind of helps us stay connected to the vision of what we're trying to create.
It sounds like you see yourself more as a facilitator or kind of co-journeyer as opposed to someone who's the general on the horse leading the charge.
Yes.
Like it all applies to you too.
I think that's one of the, I would say, differences that we would say we have compared to maybe other, whether they're leadership coaches or startup schools or however they class themselves, trainers. It's not about us, myself and Lawrence, sharing our wisdom and knowledge with people who come to our events. It's us creating a space where they can actually share their own experiences and their own ideas that then help each other. And what we can do is guide that and host it in such a way that those conversations can work well. But ultimately, I believe in this really complex world, there's no one person has the answer. And we're always learning. And I think core to us making this Happy Startup School thing work is that we're wanting to learn from our community as much as share our knowledge with them.
What's ahead for you as you go into this kind of next phase of growing the Happy Startup School? What are you dreaming about?
There's two ways I can try and answer this these days. And I think there's the rational, how does the business grow way? And then there's an exercise that we've done on one of our programs, which we call the Purpose and Profit Program, which is a kind of a cheery postcard from the future in terms of how does it feel. From a kind of more rational numbers way, you know, we would love to see Happy Startup School local communities across the world with their own chapter leaders, basically creating these spaces themselves for entrepreneurs so that they can meet face to face and share have these events running, and imagining a million of members pushing forward this idea that business can be a force for good, and putting happiness at the core is the best way to make sure that we all live and work better together. From a personal, maybe intuitive feeling perspective, I'd just love to be part of something bigger than myself, feeling that I can go to work every day being myself, being curious, having play at the center of my work, being among friends, and feeling that I'm doing something positive in the world. And that's the gut feeling, and I'm not sure I can put a business plan to that one.
But that's the ethos you're after.
Exactly.
And how about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I was about to say, it reminds me of a quote I saw the other day, which was something like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm torn between changing the world and enjoying the world. So there's some days where you want to, like, you know, really push something forward. There's other days where you just want to sit on the beach and, you know, do nothing. And sometimes those things can be done together, which is what we're trying to do. I guess what comes up for me is, like Carlos said, it's almost like every time we've tried to plan too much for the future, things have started to go horribly wrong. Every time we've left ourselves open to serendipity, then things tend to go better. And so what we try and do is have a loose vision of where we're trying to go. And yeah, I think we sort of tried to launch some chapters a few years ago, which had mixed success. And we think we know why that didn't work so well. But the thing that does give us energy is, you know, we have people, I'm sure like you, who follow you all around the world and, you know, get lots of emails and comments from people who have been influenced by what we're doing and we've never met. And we've even had people come to our events who've been following us for like 3-4 years who feel really connected to what we're doing, but we've had no one-to-one contact at all with them. So there's a real opportunity there, we feel, to grow what we're doing whilst at the same time trying to stay true to what we're about and trying to basically spend time with our families and you know, stay very present at the same time. And those two things often come into tension. So we don't want to force the issue. And I think that's one thing we've learned, particularly with this business, is it's grown organically better. So yeah, leaving it space to grow, following our nose for the things that feel right, and yeah, just being open to the people we meet, because we've met so many amazing people on this journey that we can never imagine the people we might meet at our next event or any events in the future. So yeah, kind of having one loose eye on the future without forcing that, if that makes sense.
And you all have summer camp coming up in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something soon?
Yeah, not too soon, hopefully.
I didn't say that to stress you out.
No. It's that stage of like, we're super excited about it being so close, but you kind of have that little moment. No, we're excited now. I think if you'd spoken to us maybe 2 weeks ago, we'd be kind of head down, knee deep in it. But no, we're getting really excited now. This is our big event where we get a couple of hundred people together for 3 days on a 300-acre farm in the British countryside. It's just on the kind of tail end of summer, so it can get a little bit chilly depending on what part of the world you're from. But yeah, you can also get some lovely sunny days too. And yeah, we've got all sorts planned obviously it's the usual things you might expect at an event of ours, like, you know, great stories, inspiring workshops, but also lots of quirky stuff too. So we've got botanical brewing. We've got, what else have we got? My mind's gone blank now.
Sound healing.
Yeah, we've got a couple we met in our altitude event in Oregon last year, an amazing couple of sweethearts really, who might write amazing songs. They're yogis, they do sound meditation. They're just like super talented. There's kind of people you meet and you just hate them the first minute you meet them. but they're, yeah, lovely people, and they're coming over to weave their magic at summer camp, and all sorts of other stuff that, yeah, I won't bore you with now, but is getting people out of their head and into the real world.
Fantastic. And if people want to learn more about what you're doing, whether it's summer camp or all the other things that you're involved with, where is the best place for them to follow you or find you on the interwebs?
So specifically for summer camp, if they're interested in what an event that combines business and life together in a beautiful blend, then it's happystartupsummer.camp. Then if you want to find out more about the Happy Startup School and what we're about, then that's thehappystartupschool.com. And then we're all over socials, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Happy Startups. And on Facebook, it's The Happy Startup School.
You're consistent.
Yeah. There's a theme there.
Hey guys, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me about kind of how you got to this point and all that you're working on. And I'm a huge fan of what you're doing and think you add so much value to the conversation about being well and whole and having a life that's joyful and delightful, as well as like doing something meaningful and interesting in your business. So I'm glad you're out there, and I look forward to continuing to stalk you online, if not meet you in person someday.
Thank you, Sherry. It's been an honor.
Thank you very much. And likewise, been a fan for a long time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.